This is Talking Business. I'm joined now by Tony Nash, who's the founder and CEO of Booktopia, which is a great name. G'day, Tony.
G'day.
Last time I spoke to you for this program was, 6 or 7 years ago. And what were you turning over then?
I think it would have been around $12 million a year.
And what are you doing now?
It just on $114 million for the FY18 year and tracking for $120 mil for the 2018.
Well, that's phenomenal.
Year.
So the thing is that I thought at the time that nobody's going to buy books anymore. They're either going to download them or they're going to buy them off Amazon. But you've disproved both of those things. Not only are people still buying books, which you're selling them, you've not been Amazoned.
Yes, that's true. I mean, I think the thing that we worked out a while back was that when you're everything to everyone, which is what Amazon is becoming, when you're one thing to one group, you can really excel, and that's what we've done.
But I suppose the thing is, leaving aside the Amazon side of things, are you surprised that people still buy print books?
Look, we
obviously built, not to some extent, because you build a business on it.
Look, we built our ebook platform in around that time, 2012. So we've had ebooks along that journey as well. But what we've discovered is that people do like physical books. There was always going to be a demand for coffee table books, kids' books. There would be academic, even in the legal fraternity, you cannot do an open book exam still. So we knew that that people would still buy books and would do it for many, many years.
So tell us about what has surprised you about the last 10 years or so, you know, the building of the business. What have you learned?
Look, the thing
that was surprising.
The thing for us was we've had organic growth, so we've had no external investment. So we started Booktopia on a $10 a day budget back in 2004, actually on the same day that Facebook started, not that we knew that at the time. And we, by having the organic growth, meant that we didn't have demands from investors saying you need to do this or you need to do that. And because we've, I mean, 2008, so that's 10 years ago, we had turnover of $4 million. And today, 2018, a decade later, $115 million. So it's about 35% compound annual growth rate. Having that continued growth in revenue, money coming into the business, because, of course, the customers are paying up front, has meant that we've been able to manage our growth and invest into automation, software, people. I mean, today we have 190 staff. We've got $10 million of automation. We've written all of our software, so our website, warehouse management system, content systems have all been built in-house. So it's that, I think, that ability to be able to manage what we're doing and define our own destiny has served us extremely well.
I was going to say that you must have invested quite a lot. I mean, to be pumping out that many books now, you must have quite a lot of infrastructure. How much do you think you would have invested into infrastructure?
Over the years, tens of millions in terms of automation, software. So we've got 13,000 square metres out near the Olympic Stadium in Sydney. That building houses all of the head office staff and the distribution centre. And we have 150,000 titles in stock ready to ship. So that means that, there are actually now in the world 27 million active books, active SKUs. And of those, we list 6 million on our website. So we don't list them all. We reject quite a lot, whether it be that we don't feel that they're good enough or that they're out of print potentially. And we hold
100. Certainly don't list them all. 6 million out of 27.
6 million. And then we hold 150,000. Now, of the 150,000 that we hold in stock, 82% of what we sell comes out of that 150,000. And the other 18% comes out of the 5.9 million that we don't stock that people want us to get in. And quite frankly, most of the time they know they're hard to get titles, so therefore they're willing to wait a bit longer.
The one complaint I'd have as a customer of Booktopia is that you're a bit slow. The books take a few days sometimes to get to me. So I'm just wondering to what extent do you focus on that?
Well, We now have over 95% of everything that's ordered, that's a stock title, going out within 24 hours. So depending on where you live and how far it's got to go, but it's getting into the Australia Post system within one business day. So the Sydney contingent will probably, the customers in Sydney will obviously get a better experience because it's arriving very quickly. But around Australia, people know that they may have to wait. So Amazon would still deal with those kind of issues now that they've landed here. They're using Australia Post amongst other courier companies. But that's been the key. The key has been over the years to work out how can we get the product out to the customer fast and still scale. So when we would have moved into our new facility, or not a new one anymore, 2014, we were shipping around 7,500 books per day, individual books. And today we do 25,000 books per day, individual books, of which last Christmas, 2017, we peaked at around 32,000, and this year we'll do about 38 to 39,000 individual books per day on our busiest day.
And is it all through Australia Post?
Yes, unless we're shipping to New Zealand, which we do, and we use another logistics provider there. But otherwise, they're doing about 2.5 million parcels a year. We're the seventh largest Australia Post customer.
So, because it seemed to me that one of the issues with your business is that, in a sense, you hand over control, or at least you're relying on somebody other than yourself to get the product to the customer, which can sometimes, I presume, be a problem.
That would be the condition of all e-commerce players right around the world, of course.
That's right.
That's where, as e-commerce matures, people are starting to work out ways to do that better. So you might find that a parcel locker might be better, click and collect, which we can offer through some of the Woolies and Coles, and doing all these kind of promotions.
Do you think we'll ever have drones?
In remote areas, I believe yes. I think in terms of if you're in a station out near western New South Wales, outback Victoria, and there's a hub that drones can go up, go out, drop it, come back. That's got to make more sense. I don't know how the Civil Aviation Authority is going to eventually handle drones going everywhere, because it'll be just like bees buzzing around your head all the time. So I can't imagine it, but who knows? We've gone so far already in so many other areas, it's hard to predict.
I've looked on the CASA website, and they do have a lot of rules around drones. It's quite difficult, I imagine.
Yeah, that's right. And there'll be someone sitting there trying to, get their shotgun and pop them out of the sky just for fun. Who knows how it's going to operate? I've got no idea. There's a lot of air up there, but there's a lot of parcels that are moving through the network.
As I mentioned, you haven't been Amazon. Have you noticed their arrival? And are they starting to provide competition for you in Australia? I mean, obviously, from the beginning, they've been a global player. But what about in Australia?
People ask me that all the time now. Of course, has Amazon been an impact? And I say, absolutely. Our sales are up 25%. So, to the positive, actually. So we I don't know whether now that they're here and people are identifying where they're up to. I mean, Amazon's going to be a $10 billion company in Australia. They're not yet, and they're not now, and they're struggling to do so much in such little time. But it's not rocket science to work out that they're going to have a very large position in the Australian retail landscape and whatever else they do. So, but right now for us, sales are up, and we're really happy about that.
You're sort of half joking, but do you think that they are actually responsible for that increase in your sales?
No, I just think we keep doing what we're doing. So we continue to invest in stock. So the experience that you have, that things might take a little longer, we're focusing to improve that. We have also launched a new business within our business, which is a book distribution business. That means that, well, we already knew that bookshops were buying from us. So by formalizing that and now having publishers use Booktopia as their book distribution partner in Australia, we're finding that we can hold that stock rather than having to order it in from the supplier. Now, we're the supplier, and Amazon will need to buy from us.
You're getting friendly with your competitors. The people whom you're disrupting. That's very interesting.
We were doing that already, and we have a good working relationship, actually, with the book retailing community. And as you said earlier, like the concept of walking into a shop and having to deal with someone there to talk about a book and connect with them is really what we're trying to be part of. So someone can do their research on Booktopia, but if they find what they look for and they're happy to go down to their local store, go down there and buy it from them because they're part of your community. But if you don't have a local store, which many don't anymore, then we're here to offer that service.
And you're finding the downloads, the ebook downloads increasing in as a proportion of book sales or not?
Look, for us, it's always been small. Amazon was much more aggressive around that area with their Kindle, but all publishers here and around the world are saying that they're starting to dip. A lot of people have tried e-reading and it hasn't worked for them. They had their Kindle or they had another e-reading device and now it sits in the cupboard next to their bread-making machine and their fondue set. So it's one of those things that not everyone has likened to, but they are actually there is studies going out now that e-reading doesn't necessarily achieve for kids in particular, the learning outcomes that teachers are looking for, the digital learning platform. So they're reverting back to the physical books. And also they've actually tested and analyzed people who have read fiction to work out whether one remembers better. And they discovered that in crime fiction, for example, those that actually read the physical book can actually refer and remember back to what happened better sequence because they actually held the book in their hand and they can remember the plot and better than someone who read it digitally because the page is just refreshing and you don't have any memory of where things were up to necessarily the same. So that there is studies saying that you can actually learn and remember more through the physical book.
Hmm. Well, great talking to you, Tony, and congratulations on what you've achieved.
Thanks, fantastic. Simon. Thank you.
I've been talking to Tony Nash, founder and CEO of Booktopia.